Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Luke, that over there is Brian. Oh, wait. That's Luke. I'm Brian. Recombobulating myself again here. We are here in the southern swath of Wisconsin, coming to you off of WAUK 540 AM in the Waukesha area, as well as 101 FM The Shaw. Over in the Madison area, you're at WTTN 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a political party up
it's
in here.
It's a political party. We had a holiday weekend party. There's so much fun. It's partying all around, right, Brian?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I just walked into a party right now because I'm used to having a completely empty studio and having nobody in
Brian's
here
got
whatsoever.
His feet up, and he's just like, wait, we're doing some live radio
I
in
never
here?
Wear clothes, and now I have to wear clothes because, you know, we have a whole bunch of people in studio, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We're ramping up our production right now. We just were let in by, and thank you very much, Kristen Bry, As Goes Wisconsin. She's going to be our lead-in going forward on WAUK. For those of you on 1580, if you want to check out Kristen Bry, you can go on the Devil Radio app and check out the 540 stream, the WAUK stream, and you can listen to Kristen Bry during the Tom Hartman program. There's only so many times we can put people in, and Kristen Bry is fantastic. Fantastic lead-in coming into
She's going to be doing a show Monday through Friday, noon to 2, every weekday, out of the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. So you can check her out on social media, on the Shaw's website. So many different ways to stream her program as well. Just one more set of local programming that we're going to be offering for Wisconsin News Talk Radio here on between our fabulous stations that we're growing, Brian.
My goodness. And to that
it's point, a busy time.
To that point, I'm going to be in and out going forward the next month or so.
Yeah, we got some irons in the fire, so Brian's going to be working on a number of things, and I'll be joined by hopefully a number of different guests, as well as having some production support from our excellent team of producers here between the stations as well. And so we'll have you on when you're able, Brian. But
of course, I wanted to let you know that the only thing I'll let you know about that whole thing is how many hosts that are on air, hosts of radio stations, are not going to be on the air tomorrow, let's say, because they're going to go and, I don't know, replace a power module on the transmitter.
Man, you are worth your weight in gold, Brian. I would say
I'm
double
a heavy
your
dude.
I would say double your weight in gold.
I'll take it either way. But I don't say that to complain whatsoever. That's not even a remotely thing. It's more just like oh, no way. This is new stuff and great stuff, and I'm going to be
It's an exciting time here.
New things happen, but there's no air. There's no being on the air if we have no transmitter. So.
Correct. So it's an exciting time here at Devil Radio 92.7 FM and the Shaw 101 FM. And we can't wait to share all of what we're working on as well with people as we're working on it.
Which is why we're going to stop talking about it.
We don't accidentally overshare too much right now. But look, Brian, how was your holiday weekend?
Oh my goodness, I had to stop drinking. I did not have any drinks on the 4th of July because I had done too many the days
leading up to it. Okay.
Yeah. I feel somewhat proud of myself, but I'm not entirely sure that I should be.
See, I'm doing it in moderation, I feel like, is it all is, because the last thing I like about a Monday holiday is then a Tuesday hangover from the said Monday holiday.
That's why I'm really happy.
That's not fun. Today already feels like a Monday, but it's a Tuesday, so it's got a weird vibe to it going in, and adding a hangover to that while also being responsible for producing news and doing all the other work here at the station, it doesn't mix well. So I avoided that as well.
Yeah, I didn't have any really bad hangovers or anything. It was more just being so tired because I mowed a bunch of lawns. I did a bunch of lawn work. I, you know, went to the mother-in-law's lawn. I have no problem doing that. Love doing it. And but it's exhausting after a while. Plus, I helped set up for the fourth party that I went to. So by the time that happened and get a drink in me, I'm like, I was in the middle of a conversation that I was actually interested in, and I was falling asleep mid-conversation, feeling so bad. Like, I'm not even trying to ignore you. I just can't.
Just tired. Just exhausted.
Can't stay awake. Yeah. Amy was laughing at me on the way home because I was like, hey, hi. It was basically like I was drugged. I slept 12 hours. Anyway, the last hangover I had this weekend, again, slight hangovers, just a little sweats, just a little bit of, you know,
a little headache.
A little bit of water and a little bit of grease can't help.
Yeah.
But I went to a parade, the Oak Creek Parade, and when I moved there, the first thing I was greeted to when I joined the parade that happened to run down where I had moved in there.
Literally right in your neck of the woods because I used to march that parade.
Yeah.
I was in the Oak Creek marching band myself.
Yeah. And it was right like walking distance from my house.
Yep.
So we went in there. We went there and the first day I was there, maybe I honestly moved in like 4 days prior, maybe three. I had slept in there once beforehand and I wake up and I'm like, there's a parade going down my street. It's great. I'm going to start this radio job and it's going to be awesome. And then it's Paul Ryan. And then I remembered that I was in Paul Ryan's district. So
what a lovely reminder.
Little did I know that that would be the highlight of the parade experiences for political candidates from then on, because then Brian Stile has been there and everything like that. So this time I got to see Brian Stile. Interesting enough, the parade had to stall right at the corner where I was.
Yeah.
Because if somebody collapsed up ahead and they were clearing out the area, making sure
hopefully they're all okay. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was fine. But most candidates, you know, they're in the parade saying hi and shaking hands and, you know, hey, vote for me.
Did he pull a Mark Meadows? Did he just stare at his phone the entire time?
He talked to the people that were handing out stuff around him and did not talk to a single constituent.
Any of the parade goers?
He was
talking to the people in the parade with him rather than the parade.
When the parade was going, he was like the machine was like, and now I can shake hands and talk to people and now I can.
Well, he doesn't really have to talk to anyone in that instance.
We're on a break now. Yeah. We're on a break now. Opposite of that was Becky Clayfish, who could not.
Oak Creek Parade had a lot of candidates, huh?
Yes, she. Becky Clayfish was being dragged away by her people because she kept on trying. She went up to my daughter and her friend and said, "Hey, what about a female governor? Huh? Wouldn't that be cool?" And I'm like, "That is awesome. Really good job. I mean, honestly, as a candidate as a political candidate, really good job." And then I said, "Hey, where's Joel?" And she's like, "He's down hunting gators." I'm like, yeah, I know. I got to run a replay of his show. He's like, I'm like, yeah, I walk radio. She's like, I know about you. And it was fun. It wasn't mean at all.
It's good. It's good to know that the Clayfish team, though, knows about our little station.
Well, of course.
Waukesha.
She has to.
Joel, of course.
What's his name? The other Republican that isn't
Kevin Nicholson?
No, Nicholson wasn't there.
Tim Rantham?
No. Less known than that, like Wishman or something. Not Wishman. That's Lieutenant Governor.
No, I think he dropped out of that race. He's on Clayfish's team now. Wishman, I believe.
But then Tim Michaels showed up.
Yeah. So a lot of the heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters, it was Tim and his Michaels. I have to tell everybody that Tim Michaels was indecent in public. And when I say indecent, I'm saying like he was wearing white jeans, okay? And think like 70s Robert Plant. Think like Tom Jones, maybe not so much Tom Jones. But like, I didn't look too much, but I was like, there has to be I'm pretty sure that he's stuffing there. That can't be, that's prosthetic. That has to be. My point is, it was Tim and his Michaels. He's walking around bow legged in these white jeans. David Bowie would have told him, dude, that's a little too much, buddy. Like, it was indecent, and he was walking at everybody's eye like. His crotch was at everybody's eye level.
Yeah, people sit in lawn chairs and stuff for that.
Kids are crying. What is it, mommy? Why? No, I'm
grateful.
I did not shake
his
hand. I didn't shake his hand.
Did he have at least a little bit of a better crowd? You know.
Yeah. I mean, he was walking through and shaking people and saying hi and stuff like that. But I didn't get to see him at the pause. But
gotcha.
Just my
the pause
goodness.
Threw off the robotic nature of Representative Brian Stile.
Yes. Yeah. He just paused and didn't bother talking to anybody about anything.
Well, and I, my
but
family,
when you have nothing to say, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, what are you going to do? But my family got together, Brian, pretty close to the events that were on everybody's radar yesterday. With the day before, I was about 20 minutes away from the shooting that took place in Illinois the day before.
Oh, Lord.
One day prior. So I made the drive home on Sunday night, the 3rd, coming back from that region of Illinois. I was literally 20 minutes away from where the shooting that took place yesterday occurred. And so it was the news of the week, having the fun holiday parties, getting together with loved ones, friends, family, celebrating the 4th Independence Day. It was really gut-wrenching to see then all of a sudden me having to wake up and text my family members, my aunts, uncles, and cousins that live in that area of Illinois, hoping that they're okay, because you see the headlines of another mass shooting that occurs in this country on an all-too-frequent basis. And you made an excellent point that Highland Park, where the shooting took place yesterday, the parade at Highland Park, some people will jump to say, well, that's just typical Chicago. And you pointed out something that I also saw being emulated online yesterday, saying that Highland Park is just typical Chicago and not one of the wealthiest suburbs of not only that region, but the country, is pretty a gross mischaracterization of the community where the shooting happened as well. It's like saying that the Waukesha parade tragedy happened in Milwaukee instead of Waukesha. It's like saying that just chalking it up as typical Chicago violence, as some people like to do, which is gross to begin with, is even grosser. And
yep.
I cannot believe that on our country's birthday, Independence Day, we got to be talking about another mass shooting. And then another shooting incident last night occurred in Philadelphia that had people running away, and two police officers were grazed by bullets because of the guns in this country, Brian. But do you think anybody's talking about door control?
I did note during the parade, I did take a minute to go and think about what I would do, where I'm like, what'll happen here? But then I saw the big gun that came through, and it was Tim and his Michaels.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again.
I probably voted for those things to be disappeared from my life, but I blame it someone else.
Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM.
Oh, they can take it away.
Yeah, they could. They could take it away. And the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. I'm holding down the fort here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. We're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. And Brian poses an excellent question. Where do some of these candidates fall on taking things away, taking rights away? Because the end of last month, the Supreme Court stripped away a constitutional right to a majority of Americans. A majority of Americans no longer have bodily autonomy, with women not having the right to choose whether or not they want an abortion. And the fact that that was taken away, it sends it all back to the states, Brian. And so we're kind of in a scramble. Wisconsin has on the books an 1849 law outlawing pretty much all abortion without exception, except for saving the life of the mother. But there's also been numerous abortion laws that have been passed since then, 1985, throughout the Walker administration from 2010 until 2018. And so we're figuring out which laws that were passed on abortion are the ones that need to be enforced. But one of the things that people are trying to find out, reporters, citizens are asking the questions of our gubernatorial candidates, are what positions would they take if they were elected to be governor?
I can't answer hypotheticals.
You can't? Okay. Well, then that is kind of a response that we get from a lot of candidates, Brian.
Mostly because they lack a ability to use an imagination. But that's just my point of view.
But we're getting the question posed now to some of these Republican gubernatorial candidates of whether or not that they would protect the ability for Wisconsinites to purchase emergency contraceptives, specifically like the Plan B pill. And it's a hot button issue because now that it's all to the states, it's going to be state governments and governors and legislatures and the state courts that are going to be ruling on these things now, Brian. It's a patchwork set of laws that we're going to be dealing with, and it's important to pin these candidates down on where they fall on these issues. Both Kevin Nicholson and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, who is both of them are candidates for the Republican gubernatorial ticket this fall, coming up on the election that I believe is 5 weeks from today, Brian. It's coming up fast.
Real fast.
And both of these candidates are vowing to protect the ability to purchase emergency contraceptives in Wisconsin. They are. And so they answered the question, unlike when they were asked a question about whether or not the 2020 election was stolen at last week's Republican gubernatorial debate. They couldn't answer that one with a yes or no.
No.
But they answered this one. But an interesting outlier, again, is Tim Michaels isn't a big fan of answering questions, Brian. He skipped out of the debate last week, and now he won't say whether or not he would protect the ability to protect for individuals to be able to purchase emergency contraceptives in the state of Wisconsin. He's just not answering. And do you think he's afraid of Republican primary voters, Brian, or do you think he's just afraid of voters in general? Which one do you think it is? Because he's not answering questions because maybe he doesn't want to give the answer. I don't understand it.
He didn't seem to be afraid of answering voters' questions, or at least he didn't seem to be afraid of the voters when he was shaking their hands and showing them his Michaels, you know, Mr. walking around and pretty much revealing all to everybody around him. I don't think that he's afraid of his voters as much as afraid of being pinned down on an actual issue and maybe have to be held to it, because I think he's going to reserve the right to go and make his issues and whatever he cares about known once that it matters to actually talk about.
We live in a world now, though, where politicians going back on their word isn't that big of a deal. Do you think that's
really
what it
is? Oh, it's the norm now. It's just whatever it is.
It's more par for the course than anything.
Unless you're Democrat, then you have to hold yourself to a higher standard than anybody else could possibly hold any other human being to, and then expect other people to, you know, also act honorably. Because, again, when was the last time the Republicans were like, hey, we need to work across the aisle?
They're not. Has
there ever been a candidate that ever said, you know what, I want to work across the aisle?
No, because I think every single one of them lose a Republican primary when they say something along those lines.
Huh.
I think any form of compromise, like the Tea Party, starting in 2010, the Tea Party painted the word compromise as the worst thing that a Republican can do. They want candidates in that party. The Republican Party wants candidates that will just swear an oath to the death cult and do whatever Republicans can do to own the libs and win elections. Those are the two things that they like to do. And if you don't swear to that oath, you want to compromise and you want to actually create a government that can function as it's supposed to and deliver results as it's supposed to, you can't be sent to elected office then, Brian. That's breaking the whole idea of them being able to say the government doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that it's the fact that Tim Michaels is afraid of coming out with a position. I think it's Tim Michaels. I truly believe he's afraid of Republican primary voters. That's what he's afraid of.
I am too, by the way.
I believe that Tim Michaels is skipping out on these debates and not answering questions from reporters because he doesn't want to be able to do anything with the Republican primary voters, then win their vote on August 9th, and then become a moderate Republican candidate trying to win the governor's mansion here in Wisconsin come November.
Dude, Tim Michaels is going to run the rest of his campaign like he's trying to sing along to this song with everybody else.
He's got the Trump endorsement already. He can
this
take
is all
that.
He has to do I was is saying, sing this song.
He's going
to
wrap
over
himself
again.
In that and this song, and he could walk to the Republican primary, the Republican nomination.
Now, when he gets a little seasoning, he'll know when the reporters ask him about things like this. He goes, "You know what I believe in? America and freedom and the right to be an American. And I'm proud to be an American. If you're not, then don't ask me any questions. Have a good day."
Sounds like you just predicted a lot of his answers between now and August 9th.
I just gave it to him, buddy. Just put that
just,
thing
you
away.
Just put it out there. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke
away,
and Brian. We're going to get to your phone calls. We see you stacking up after the break. 844-967-2789. Number of other headlines and your calls. We'll be right back. This is Dueling Tangents.
I like putting this song on when I'm coming on the highway, like getting on the on-ramp. Like especially like a really long one, because then it kind of builds a little bit. And then like I used to drive a stick shift, so you get to fifth gear by about right about here. Yeah. Back when people had stick shifts. Welcome back, everybody. This is... Wow, I'm reminiscing, my goodness. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. Luke is in Madison. That's WTTN 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM. Checking me out in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're listening to us on the stream at Devil Radio, the Devil Radio app. And you can choose which side of the state you want to listen to. And you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll be getting to your calls right now on 844-96-PARTY. Luke, you wanna cue them up, get them all ready to rock?
Yeah, up first this afternoon, we got our John in Watertown calling in. So, John, what's on your mind today?
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Luke and Brian. Brian, I got to give you credit. I love your voice characterizations.
Thanks, man. I spent many time alone in a when I was in junior high.
You're like the Mel Blanc of progressive radio.
Oh my goodness! What I would have given to just sit and watch Mel Blanc in a booth. Just my goodness.
Yeah, he. I know he got a start on radio with Jack Benny, but that was a long time ago. The question that I have is regarding the Supreme Court. I noticed, now there's only 9 members on the Supreme Court. That's not a whole lot. And for them to have, to be on the court for life, I think, with 13 circuits in our country, shouldn't we have 13 people on the Supreme Court?
You would think that might be, especially in a representative democracy.
Well, if you wanted to follow precedents as well, John, that would be something that would be in line with what the court had historically done, because I believe the last time in the end of the 1800s when the court expanded to 9 justices, it was because there were 9 circuit courts. We've added 4 more since then, and so it could be due time for us to add 4 more justices to account for that.
Now, I'm a person of the mind. I'm of the mind that, and Kristen was talking about this in the show earlier, I'm of the mind that maybe one term limits are good for justices, especially since, society is growing at an exponential rate. Changes in things are happening very quickly. I also want to get rid of the president nominating justices, because at this point it's just a token.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's not like the president, whoever's running for president, is really, I'm going to nominate this one judge I've been following for a really... No, most of the time they're handed a piece of paper, and then they meet with like 2 or 3 of them, and they go, okay, this is the person I can get behind or talk to. Okay, great. But by the end of the day, it's really the courts that end up nominating these people anyway, or at least like the legal folks end up vetting them in the first place. So my point is why don't you have the 13 courts, and those 13 send their own person to serve for X amount of years, and then they rotate it, whatever. My point is that somehow to keep it fresh, somehow to keep it consistent, but also representative.
Exactly. And in Wisconsin, we have 10-year term limits. That's, you know, and we vote for our justices. It just seems to me that that would be a more, you know, democratic way of doing it.
Well, we did run into a few problems when we have in the way that we do things with our justices.
I would say Wisconsin is an outlier when it comes to electing judges, though. That is kind of I believe there's only a handful of states out there, John, that elect their justices or judges in general. And so it's definitely not the standard that we have here in Wisconsin, but I believe at least having a conversation of being able to make the judiciary more effective and more representative of the country would be an excellent place to start. But unfortunately, there's just in that regard, Republicans are very conservative right now because they have a 6-3 majority of conservative justices. They don't want to make any changes or judiciary reforms because the way that they see it, they're winning in that regard. They've stacked the courts. They stole a seat, and they're totally fine with playing the game with the rules that are currently in place. And
it's helped them.
Yeah, it's helped them, and it's allowed them to be able to do a lot of the Republicans are rejoicing over the decisions recently from the Supreme Court. They're not upset. Even Republicans that we are putting up on a little bit of a pedestal right now, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, like, I would assume that both of those individuals are pretty happy with the decisions that came out of the Supreme Court. They're upset with Trump, and they want to hold Trump accountable, and we lout them for that, but they're still Republicans at the end of the day, and the decisions coming out of this super conservative, ultra political Supreme Court, they're not decrying them like I believe you may and I am, John.
Yeah, exactly. And for them to hold who was it that passed away?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Before that was that guy that conservative.
Scalia.
Scalia. Yeah, for them to hold his seat, open for a year and then put Gorsuch on there, when Merrick Garland should be on there, then we'd have it would be 5-4. You know, it would be just one justice makes a big difference.
Or at least if you even said that they play by their own rules that they set, and you don't appoint a Supreme Court justice in the midst of an election year, then Amy Coney Barrett wouldn't be there.
A month or two before the election, and then they go a year. Yeah, it's
weeks. We're not even talking a month or two before the election, that one, John. It was weeks before that election, but we appreciate your call. You can be like John. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But, Brian, they play by one set of rules, and then it's the set of rules.
And it's an ever-changing set of rules.
Right, and it's the set of rules that they deem are okay to play by on that given day. That's what it is. And that's one of those things where you see the gun violence that is continuing across this country, but then finding out that the state cannot regulate. The Supreme Court case earlier at the end of last month that came out saying that New York State cannot regulate the Second Amendment with having concealed carry permits, but they're going to say that every single woman is regulated and doesn't have the autonomy over her body. It's a very contradictory Supreme Court that I find it
interesting that we're now going to have to look at the Earp brothers as the wrong side of history at the OK Corral. It was the Cowboys that were in the right, and the Earp brothers were in the wrong, according to the Supreme Court, going and disarming the Cowboys at the OK Corral. So we're going to have to rewrite history now again.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to do.
But
we'll talk a little bit about rewriting history and, you know, some comments about a dug up video a little bit, Brian, that I found shocking, that I was like, why is this being talked about right now? Like you said, when you got nothing to talk about, you got to go find something to complain about. But up next, we got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind this afternoon?
There's something I want Republican or Democrats to spare me after this last gun incident. I don't want to hear this. We're better than this.
No, we're not better than this.
We're not better than this on a number of things. Women's reproductive rights, voting rights. We're not right, anywhere near right on race relations. So I don't want to hear that BS about, that's just makes me sick to hear oh, well, we're better than this. No, this is who we are.
Yeah.
And the thing that scares me most is, okay, now they're saying go out and vote. I understand all that. I do. But I'm also a little bit leery when, what, about 25 or 26 states have skewed things so that if they don't like the results, they'll change them.
Yep.
Yeah. This is getting a little scary, in my opinion.
I know. And the problem is that even no matter what, you still have to go out and vote to make sure that it works in the first place. I totally get that, man. And this is, you are 100%, this is exactly who we are. And I always want to say, whenever there's a shooter, they always say, oh, a mental illness or something like that, as if to go and shun them from who we are. This person was a product of our society. This person, whether mental illness or not, is a product of our society. This is one of us. One of us did this.
And another thing, nobody in the media is much touching this yet. You know, the last guy, I don't even like to refer to him as the last president. You know, there's stuff out there of him draped in a Trump flag.
Oh, yeah.
And all the rest of it. And you can't tell me, and I'm sick of hearing that, too, that, well, he didn't incite any of this. Baloney to that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's good and bad on both sides, right, guys?
Oh, just on both sides, just the same amount.
Just
of
on both sides, oh.
Sure, same thing.
That's gonna trigger me, Dick. Oh my, just that regard. Both sides. Yeah, I can't believe that is some of the talking points.
It's about as smart as saying I'm gonna shoot you, and then you get to shoot me back.
It's not.
No, that we get equal time shooting.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we always win when we go to Mark from the Sack. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing okay. And let's remember, and not to forget that Anthony Kennedy left in one heck of a hurry over some, probably being blackmailed by Donald Trump because his son got caught with his hand in the cookie jar probably over with Deutsche Bank. So for some reason, Anthony Kennedy resigned. That
gave
us
by the way, who did pay off Kavanaugh's debts again?
Yeah, and that's another thing. Who paid off, you know, Kavanaugh's debt? And you know, that the founders gave warnings about our magistrates, you know, that enriching themselves, and they're worried about judges, you know, that, Hamilton referred to that in some of his Federalist papers, enriching themselves from office, that you can buy off a judge. I mean, we should know who paid off, you know, Kavanaugh's debt. I mean, that should be public record there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And now the courts say, well, the legislatures can overturn elections if they want to. It's in the hands of the legislatures. Well, what about the state constitutions? Aren't our states supposed to, in Wisconsin, they ignored the Constitution when it came to, you know, setting up the districts. I mean, because the districts are supposed to be compact and contiguous. And they don't meet that standard. I mean, why the heck the Supreme Court says, well, we stick to the Constitution except when it comes to that. I mean, that at least be completely contiguous, but they have little islands, you know, picked out that they've, you know, street by street, the Republicans have analyzed these things and say, how much do Democrats now have to win an election by to actually take the election? Because Gableman is not satisfied. And why that man's fat ass is not squatting in jail for contempt of court is beyond me, because if you or I got up and said what Bumble said in Oliver Twist, the law is an ass, that is basically what he said, and he's not in jail.
He's being fined for contempt, and you know who gets to pick up the price on that one, Mark? You and I, Wisconsin taxpayers, because I'm pretty sure all the fines that Gableman is going to incur for contempt of court or any other legal means that he needs to cover the cost, it's coming back to Wisconsin taxpayers. He's already exceeded more than $1 million. He's been on the clock for more than a year. July 1st, last Friday, marked 1 year that Gableman's been doing what he's doing, and we're going to dive a little deeper into that in future shows, sharing a little bit more about the numbers coming in from that investigation, quote-unquote. Use the I word. I got to go put a dollar in the I jar, Brian. But his work over the last year has turned up nothing that wasn't already known. Wisconsin taxpayers are paying $1 million, more than $1 million, to allow that to go on. And They just don't care. Republicans don't care. They have, you know, they don't care.
Dude, I had planned on playing If I Had $1 Million by Barenaked Ladies for the Gableman talk, but
I ruined it. I'm so sorry.
No, I just don't like that song. So it just got worn out on me for a while. Like, people were always like playing it. If I had, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, you think it's so funny and all the different Kraft macaroni and cheese and fantasy ketchups. What a funny time when that was the worst thing that annoyed me. But now I have to realize that people are getting paid by the state to go and ruin the state.
The integrity of our elections, and that's one of the worst parts about the Supreme Court decisions. They're saying, hey, send it back to the states. And in Wisconsin, we've got a gerrymandered state where you got very little representative government. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. One more segment left in the day. 844-967-2789. Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM out of Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out in Waukesha, always streaming on the Devil Radio app, wherever your fine apps are downloaded. It's free as well.
Yeah, I got a little bit of Waukesha area station announcements here.
Yeah.
A little bit of, just so you know, tomorrow you may experience a little bit of interference on the 540 AM stream or 540 AM signal, maybe for a good 20 minutes or so tomorrow. Don't be alarmed. It's just me putting the power module on there, but that's something that I got to do. But I just want to let you know not to be alarmed. There will be a little bit of an outage tomorrow, 540. I hate to announce those things, but I also don't want to go and, you know, upset everybody. But also, I'll probably get it done before the afternoon stuff, so that'll be fun.
A little morning maintenance.
Yeah, and I also want to remind everybody that we launched a new show, a new live local show here in Waukesha, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, 12 to 2 weekdays right here in the Shaw. Also, we're launching another new show directly after this show.
On both stations,
as well as Minnesota. We're having a little bit of a crossover now with our sister station over in, I call them sisters or friends. We're acquaintances. We're connected. Let's not put labels on it. The point is that 9:50 a.m. out in KTNF, they're really cool people, and they're like-minded with us. We're sharing shows. Matt McNeil is going to be on live with us. You're going to need to write down a new call-in number because you're going to be calling into the Minnesota thing. So if you want to call into Matt McNeil and say, hey, you're calling in from Wisconsin and you're listening to us on any of our stations, then you're going to want to get a new number there.
Yeah, so the Matt McNeil Show will be broadcasting live weekdays from 3 to 4 p.m., so immediately to follow Dueling Tangents. We're getting a new lead-in in Waukesha and we are a new lead-in for this show on both stations, Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, and the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And then the Devil's Advocates will be doing an awesome condensed version, 2 hours, 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday as well. So a little bit of a new showtime there for the Devil's Advocates, but just giving you more Dom and Crute for the full 2 hours, 4 to 6 p.m. We'll let everybody know that we do already do some cross-pollination with KTNF up in Minneapolis with Native Roots Radio that broadcasts immediately after the Devil's Advocates from 6 to 7 p.m. So just getting some more crossover of the programming between really important stations doing some important work, providing the progressive news talk lineup here in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
We're here to give you as much local and live local coverage as possible.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, is we ultimately want to be able to provide. We are a platform for live local news talk coverage, and that's what we want to do. And that's what we're going to be offering from now noon to 10 p.m., I believe, with the full lineup in Waukesha. But also, you'll still be able to listen to Tom Hartman every day from 11 to 2 here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. So a lot of fun programming updates to give, and we will share those with you continuously as well. But we got a little reshuffling of the schedules Yeah. In both our stations.
But we will continue to bring you really important stories, like like the one that we are about to get into, which is so important. Thank God.
I honestly,
I'm going to read you some of the most offensive things you will ever hear. I don't even know if I'm allowed to air it, but I'm going to read it because I don't know about playing
See,
it.
See, Brian, I thought an actual scandal broke out over the weekend, and I was like, oh, I got to go take a look at this. This is news. Like, this is news. I should be up to date. Yep. Maybe I got to share it between the stations over the holiday weekend. Uh-huh. And then I open up the story, and this is a big, fat nothing burger. Like, Ron Johnson wants to pretend that handing off fraudulent electoral votes is a nothing burger.
It's a nothing burger.
That's not a nothing burger. That's very serious.
Nothing happened. It's fine. I only plotted to kill her.
This is a true nothing burger, Brian. So let's share it with the people.
I want to read these controversial statements by Mandela Barnes that were so controversial that nobody paid attention to them
for about a year.
He said this at an August 19th event in Portage. Wow.
Liberal hotspot up in Portage.
Do they care about him now that he's kind of a front runner, or are they just trying to reach for something? This is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this is Bill Glauber. I'm going to read the quote from Mandela Barnes that he said back on that fateful day of August 19th, almost when our democracy died that day.
That dark, dark day.
Imagine being so ashamed of how he... Okay, imagine talking about slavery, talking about the founding of the country. Imagine being so ashamed of how we got to this place in America that you outlaw teaching it. You know, and things were bad. Things were terrible. The founding of this nation? Awful. You know, but we are here now and should commit ourselves to doing everything we can do to repair the harm because it still exists today. The harm, the damage, whether it was colonization or whether it was slavery, the impacts are felt today and they're going to continue to be felt unless we address it in a meaningful way. And then the snowflakes freaked out.
Snowflakes melting.
Because things were terrible. The founding of this nation, awful. Yeah, you know what we did? We took people that lived here and killed them or moved them away. Yeah, and we took people from other places that were easy because we were too lazy to go and figure out how to get people to work for us. We got people with different skins, so it's easier to find them because they're so stupid and lazy that they couldn't get there. And also the whole founding of the nation, we would not have been economically prosperous if we didn't have slaves. Huh? Isn't that great? Could you not agree that slavery is terrible?
Apparently, though, this is a big enough story that Bill Glauber over at the Journal Sentinel had it right up the headline. Mandela Barnes comments on teaching of slavery and founding of country draw fire from Republicans.
Let's hear what the Republicans had to say. Here's what Becky Clayfish tweeted. I love America and our founding principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Evers needs to call out his lieutenant governor for these awful comments about our great nation.
A year
unless,
later.
Of course, he agrees. One, a year later. And two, it's the freaking truth, lady. Like, I don't understand how you don't say, yeah, slavery is awful. Like, you can have...
The three-fifths compromise, Brian, a glowing tribute to America, something that needs to be revered, apparently, according to... Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Like, you can't call out three-fifths compromise. That was bad. I guess. You can't say that it was bad.
My point is, like, let's say, you
saying
know,
it's bad
let's,
is
say,
bad.
Let's say you go and look at your own life, right? And you look at your own life and you see, you know, there were things that I did in my past that I probably would do differently or maybe should learn from and I don't do anymore. For example, like with Rebecca Clayfish, like if you get, let's say, arrested for underage drinking and then you run away, maybe you learn not to do that anymore.
Or you cover it up and act like
yourself.
It didn't happen.
My point is if you look at America that way, actually the United States, because America is a larger place than the United
America
States.
America is two anyway, continents.
Yeah. If you look at the United States and you look at the past and you go and say, hey, that was bad. Let's not do that anymore. That's a good thing. And if you can't say that's a good thing, you got a problem.
Well, apparently they're looking for something to gripe about because conservative talk show hosts dug this up from 11 months ago and wants to make this a story.
Talk about a slow news day.
How? The biggest media outlet, the biggest paper in the state typing this up. I don't get it. Folks, you've been listening.
Can't
to
believe
changes.
Someone said slavery was bad.
We're on every day, 2 to 3 p.m. We'll be back tomorrow. Up next, we got the Matt McNeil Show in both markets. We'll talk to you tomorrow.